Hello, everybody, and welcome to another conspiracy-pilled Bible study, but a very special Bible study, and that's why you guys have been quoting movies for half an hour waiting for us to go live, because we have Jim Barfield joining us again. Jim, how's it going, man?
I'm doing great. I've been better, but I'm doing great.
probably not the most fun spending a half an hour having to like figure out how to even get this stream up, but I'm glad that you stuck with us and that we stuck around.
Believe me, I love doing this. I love teaching people about anything to do with the Bible. I love doing that. So guys, don't feel bad at all. I'm with you. I'll stick with you as long as you're willing to try. I'm willing to stick with you.
Absolutely. Well, what we've learned over the almost 2 years of doing this is that whenever we have something really special, Satan really wants to make sure that we don't have a stream, our tech fries, things go crazy. Right. So I think the best thing we could do right now is just open this up in prayer. Would you mind leading us with a quick prayer before we get started, Jim?
I would love to. Thank you.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, as always, there's going to be issues and difficulties, especially when we're trying to share your word and trying to do the very best we can. So, Father, I thank you for these young people that are willing to do this. I really love what they're doing, what they're attempting to get out to the people. It's refreshing. It's exciting. And I really, even the audience, I just love the audience, the good things that they had to say and the interest they had the last time I was on this show. So, Father, I ask that you bless it for everything we do. Bless it and let us stay within your will and say the things you want us to say, Father. It's to your honor and to our benefit. So, Father, I thank you for all this and everything that you're doing for all of us. I praise you and I praise your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. So last time Jim was on, we did talk about the Copper Scrolls, but we also got into talking about timeline stuff. And Jim was gracious enough to send us over this really cool timeline that it's a little bit overwhelming when I first looked at it. So he's going to kind of explain it to us. So we've got it up on screen. If there's issues, it's because he's supposed to be in control of this, and I'm going to try to control it because we're having screen share issues. So please, people in chat, just keep praying for us. But you want me to get to this this statement at the top, or is there anything you wanted to say before we?
Yeah, what the statement is, it's what this timeline actually is. Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't design this to be shared with the world. This was my private research, and I was using it for myself. But I began to realize, because people wanted to see it, they wanted to have copies of it, so. I want you guys to understand that what I found, I just stumbled into it. It wasn't like I intended to prove anybody wrong, anything like that. Not at all. It's just information that happened to start developing as I went through this. And real quick, I've been working on this thing since, oh gosh, I was back in my days at the fire marshal's office. I have probably 25 years. Started off with a 30-foot piece of butcher paper and drew 1/8-inch ticks for every year. And I had a ball with it. I'm one of those guys that just loves this kind of stuff. And so I just wanted to get that across to everybody. This was actually my personal research, and I had no intention of sharing it with people. But I am very happy to share it with you, and I hope you get something good out of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm excited to hear more about it. By the way, chat says they like your sweater. So they
approve. Well, I got PJs on underneath, so that's all right. We're good.
All right. So let's pull this thing up really quick. So this is the timeline, and you've got some notes here for me. So I'm going to try to follow along and bring up the right parts of where we're looking at. But we're starting right here at the top, I think, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
At the very top, let's see, let me pull up my other research too. Gosh, I'm trying to get four screens on a one screen deal here.
Yes.
Oh, just a second.
By the way, yeah, so I see Aiken says, I have a question for Jim later. If you guys have questions, try to type them out. I'll do my best to watch the chat tonight and you know, as we get time and there's, you know, pause or an opportunity, I'll try to ask him for you guys. So,
okay. Well, let's skip the statement and let's go straight into this. Okay. The goal of the timeline of the Messiah is to harmonize with God's symphony of time, with our understanding and our resources. Resources meaning without a computer, without a you ever heard of Bible's eSword? That thing is magnificent.
Oh yeah,
it's mm-hmm. It's you just donate, and guys, they're wonderful people, and that's what I used doing my research on this thing because I could search, and it saved incredible amount of time, because if I had to go through every book and find all the notations of time, that would have been a nightmare.
Right. But
this is what you're going to learn from the timeline. The timeline of the Messiah is a precise register of biblical time graphically displayed on an Excel spreadsheet from Adam, the creation of Adam, to the year 2040. Using God's feast in conjunction with the timeline, you'll be able to double, listen to me, you'll be able to double your understanding of the Bible. Numerous dated prophecies from the Bible and several about Yeshua, Jesus, from the Dead Sea Scrolls will be recognized and give insight to the yet unfulfilled prophecies that are coming. You will see searchable data to determine if dated events. If you want to look on the timeline and find biblical events or secular events even, you can do that with this timeline. You can tell if it happened in a Jubilee year or a sabbatical year. There's just all kinds of information you can plug in on this, because remember, it goes from Adam. Every single year is marked off on this timeline in a very precise manner. And you could find your own birth date on there if you wanted to. A birth year, not birthday. And this timeline is based on 50 biblical benchmarks, meaning I selected very identifiable, very well-dated documented events timeline. There's 50 of them. A1, and if you'll go to the – let me pull you guys back up again. Hold on just a second.
No problem.
Okay. If you go to A1 and tell you mm-hmm. got A1 typed in there, if you look on the far right, left-hand side, can you slide it over just a little bit more? They can't see that far left-hand column. Is that possible?
Yeah. I can see the far left-hand column. It might be. So are you talking about where it says current Jewish dating? And is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, it's got current Jewish dating, but there's a column even a little further left than that. It's the main,
the
most important line on there.
Why can I not?
Can you widen your screen?
I'm trying. Hold on. Let's see. Sorry.
Slide it to the right. Have you got it marked full screen?
Maybe I don't. You have to help me. I'm not an expert with Excel. Yeah,
look under view. Go to home. Top left hand corner.
Sure.
And go over to view. I don't see it either.
Sorry. View. Yep.
Okay. Gosh, I don't see the mark. Usually all I do is I just make this screen smaller and spread it out a little further. Can you see that column? If you can see it, we might be able to get through this.
I see a column, and it's got 1 through 19 written here, and then current Jewish dating. That's all in the column.
Okay. Well, that just above that column that you're looking at,
uh-huh.
That's where you typed in A1.
Yes.
That's where you'll type in everything. But a little further to the left of there, I'm talking to the audience now, a little further to the left of there, and you'll be able to see it if we can work out a deal where I can send you a copy of this. You guys can do this for yourself, and that's why I want to go through it. There is about 25 years worth of research. There it is. You think you got it. Yeah, you got it. You see that far left-hand side?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the one that's really important for us. And if you'll go between C and D, and go right between the two up at the top.
Yep.
Okay, now click on it, hold right click and hold, and then spread it a little further apart to the right. Oop, that's a lot, but that'll work.
Okay.
Now they can see it. Okay.
Okay.
Now, what I want you to do, I'm just going to run them through this real quick. And by the time I get done, it should be before midnight. I don't know. Current Jewish dating, that is the way the Jewish people date it today. And I can see a mistake right there on 17. Type in 17 right there where it says 16-7. Type in 1-7. Click and just type in 1-7.
Oh, sorry.
There you go. Thank you.
Yep. There you go. I saw it too. It was 16-7-18.
Yeah. I was working on that today, cleaning things up. So there may be a couple other spots like that. Okay.
Okay.
Column A, Jewish dating. You can go down through there and you'll see that it remains constant all the way down. And you don't have to do that right now, but it remains constant all the way down to just after the Exodus. Then there's like a 220 year gap in there. Why? I talked to a priest, a Cohen priest, he couldn't answer why is there a gap? It doesn't make any sense. But nonetheless, the next column is B. That is ages, like the Bronze Age, the Copper Age, that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
And then column C is AD, BC. And it looks like there's no AD on there, but it's AD, BC. And then the next one is sabbatical, jubilees, and years. That is where it really gets interesting, because I logged all the sabbatical years and all the jubilee years in there. Then the yellow column, which is F, that's the next most important one. That one is the years of a jubilee cycle. And I'm going to show you guys in a minute, jubilee cycles are not 50 years long. And I'll explain that in just a second. And then if you put your cursor right over the blue column, mm-hmm. right there, just hold it over it. What that does is it pops up the years of Adam. And you can go all the way down this until Adam dies. And if you keep your cursor on that, it'll keep popping up. So, you know, anywhere along that, if you go way down there, there's like 5 or 6, 7, 8 of them, and you'll see there's another one popped up. That should be in Seth. Go over to
I gotcha. Okay.
Then over to Enos. So you can see their entire life on there. Canaan.
Right, and you can see when they're concurrently alive, which is really cool. Yeah. So like it right is. Here,
yep.
Adam is alive at the same time as Canaan.
You bet.
Okay.
It's really awesome. Fascinating when you get further down in there. And if you'll watch, stop right there. It says, put your cursor over Bible verse in Jared's life.
Oh, yep.
Okay. There's the text. Now, I didn't just arbitrarily throw things in here. I used biblical dating. All of this is built on biblical dating. That's not some PhD guy, and no disrespect. None of this is based on anything other than the main, what I call the benchmark, all based on Bible. Now, there's mm-hmm. other dating I have in here, like Roman, Gregorian. I've got the dating in here, but everything is based all the way from Adam to the year. Let's just stay at 1948 for right now. We're going to go past that, though. Guys, I challenge you, go and try to find another timeline. I'm not trying to sell these, that you go try to find another timeline where you've got every single year of time based on Bible, not on the Babylonian dating. Throw that stuff mm-hmm. out. Until you get your timeline dealt, and then go back and add that other stuff in there. It really becomes an amazing thing. But if you'll notice, it says, and 60 and 5 years, he begat Jared. Look up there on the top in the about where it says 460, go over, and there is a 65.
Oh, yep. See that? Right there. Yep.
That's now go back to the Bible's verse. See that? It matches the Bible verse. Now go down to the next one, where the next one pops up. Keep going. Right there. Stop. Enos. It says 162 years. And look over there to the left.
Yep, you got the 162. 162. Okay. So
everything is registered. And look at the yellow line that splits that timeline of Enoch. See that? Yeah. That's the 14th.
Jubilee year?
Yeah, that's the 14th Jubilee year from Adam. And you can see that sabbaticals, they run, that is the 90th Jubilee, just above the 90th sabbatical year. Go up seven. Take your cursor up seven.
Oh, right here. Okay, I see it.
Now you know where the sabbatical's at. But guys, listen, all your sabbaticals and all your Jubilee years have got to line up. They can't get out of sync. If you get them out of sync, you're going to mess up everything. So let's go back up to A1.
Really quickly, we have a Rumble Rant over here from Ice Sun, and she says, how do we get a copy of this amazing sheet?
I prefer firstborns. But I think so. No, I tell you what, if you will promise me you'll stick with PJ and Abby and stay with them, because you're going to learn a lot of things from these guys. I really like these two. And who was the young lady last week?
That was my sister, Elise.
Tell Elise that if she wants to do a study and you guys want to do a study, I'll do it anytime you want. Within reason, because I'm going to be gone all week this week. But that would be, she asked me and I never answered her. And I apologize if she's listening in. And I would be happy to do a Bible study with you guys. Even if it's only five or six guys, I would do that.
We would absolutely love to do that. And by the way, Elise, she isn't here tonight, but that's because it's her birthday today. So just so people in chat and everybody knows, Elise's birthday today. I won't say her age so she doesn't get mad at me. We'll just say she turned 29 again.
Again. Yeah, well, I'm 33, so that's great.
Hey, me too.
So. And I respect that, and I want to give people as much as I can. I probably only got, like, at the maximum 20 years left on my life, and I want to spend it on good things, and that is what I call a good thing. So let's go back up to the top.
Okay.
If you'll type in, type in A1.
All right.
There you go. See how quickly it moves, and you can find out.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And what I want to do is I want to make sure I've got to update this, the outline that you can see right now. Mm-hmm. I want to update that and make sure everything is really clean and ready. And I will send both of those. And I promise you guys, you're going to be amazed. And it is not because of something I did, because I just simply put it together. It's like those models you used to get and when you were a kid and you got the glue and you glued them together. I didn't build them, I just put it together. And that's what this is. Okay, now, you saw the benchmarks, that one beside Adam, it's above the timeline of the Messiah. There's a black square with a one in it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very important. Those are the most important notations on here, because that's what builds the timeline all the way down to the year 1948. And after today, it's going to go beyond that. And you see the Melchizedek Adam?
Mm-hmm. Right here.
Over that? Yep. Guys, listen. Adam was the first of the Melchizedeks. Very important for you to understand. And I'm going to prove that to you. If we have time enough tonight, I'm going to prove that to you. So if you would, please, you look on your the outline.
Yeah.
BG6049. Copy that and paste it into that, or however you want to do it. Okay, slide to the right or slide it to the left. Nope, the other way.
Sorry, that's okay.
My fault. Zoom in on that. Yep.
Enhance. There we go.
Okay, back out a little bit. You've cut off a Jubilee. You can't cut off Jubilee.
You can't cut off a Jubilee. All right, there we go. All
right. Okay. And actually, on my version of it here, you'll get even more information. I'm going to send more information with it. Here's the deal. Look over there on the far left under the BI column. it says 49 years. Well, the Jubilee cycle is 49 years long. Mm-hmm. And I can't operate the cursor, but at the far left side of that yellow, that's year one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's the year Adam was born. And then if you go to the far right hand side of that yellow box, that is year 50. Year 50 mm-hmm. and the year one are the same year on that, all the 49 Jubilees after that. And matter of fact, they're the same all the way through. But if you'll note, the next after 40 Jubilees, you come to Isaac, the Jubilee mm-hmm. that Isaac was born in. The first year on the left-hand side is the year one and the year 50, or I should say the year 50 and the year one. And this one is the year 50 and the year one that show you just touched on there.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting stuff, because there are 40 Jubilee cycles between Adam and Isaac, 40 between Isaac and Yeshua. Listen, now we're going to go to us. 40 Jubilee cycles between Yeshua, from the crucifixion of Yeshua to the current year, current Jubilee cycle we're in, which started in 1991. That's the cycle we're in. Now, if we had a Messiah figure with Adam, because in Scripture, Yeshua is called the second Adam, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Isaac was going to be sacrificed on Mount Moriah. He took bundles of wood on his back. People say he was in his 50s, he was in his 30s, baloney. But the timeline tells you very clear. He was 12 years old, the year of his bar mitzvah, because after the bar mitzvah, he becomes a son of the commandments. That's what bar mitzvah means. He becomes a son of the commandments, and he has to make his own decisions after that. But his dad took him, and I don't quite get this, but he was going to sacrifice him. I mean, God told him to, and you got to be pretty obedient to do that. So here's Isaac carrying his wood up there. He was going to be the sacrifice, but instead he provided a ram. But you go exactly 40 Jubilees after that. You see that black line at the bottom? It shows you how to figure that. You go to the end of that, and it's Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
People will tell you that Yeshua's or Jesus' birth or his years of his teachings were 3 years long. That's not true, guys. It's absolutely not true. And the way you know that is, in order to be a sacrifice, a Passover sacrifice, the lamb has to be a lamb of the first year. Hmm. How, if Jesus, I'll call him that, if Jesus was 33 years old, where do you see a lamb of the first year in that? Hmm. I'll tell you. It's because when he turns 30, he becomes eligible to be a priest. Okay, just bear that in mind. He becomes eligible to be a priest, and he did become a priest on his 30th birthday. Then during that 30th birthday, it comes around to Passover. He's about 30 years, 6 months, something like that. So he was a lamb of the first year to be offered as a sacrifice, as a Passover sacrifice. Now, there's much more to get into, and I was going to show you a lot more, but I can't. So I'm going to show you plenty, I promise you. If everything continues to work as well as it is. Then from Yeshua to today, we are in a messianic jubilee period. Guys, this is really, really important that you understand that, because there's so many things happening, and I'm going to show you that here in just a little bit. Yeah, if you would go back up to A1, please.
Yes, sir. Can I ask you a question really quick? So you were talking about the first year. Are you saying that Christ's ministry was from when he was 30 till, and it was more like 6 months? Is that what you're?
That's it. No, what I'm going to tell you is this. His ministry actually started whenever John the Baptist and he were out there, they were in the Jordan and he was baptizing, remember?
Right. Yes.
He baptized. But that baptism, it wasn't just a let's show up out at the pond and baptize today. That's not what was happening. For 3 days, they baptized, they cleansed. What they were doing is what is called a Pentecost or a Shavuot. Shavuot ceremony. They were reenacting the day that they were at Mount Sinai. Did you know that?
I've heard this before, yeah.
Yep. Well, that's where it comes from. And I found this as I was doing my research on this timeline, that they were reenacting what everybody does every year. Remember, now think about it. Yeshua goes under the water. He says, well, John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes or untie his shoes." And mm-hmm. Yeshua said, "No, we will do this." John wanted to be baptized by him, but Yeshua said, "No, we got to do this like we're supposed to." And I'm paraphrasing. "We got to do this like you were supposed to." Who was older, Jesus or John the Baptist?
John.
John was.
He was. How much older?
Oh, I thought it was like 6 years, but I'm probably right.
Probably wrong. No, that in the womb, so it has to be a matter of months, right?
Six months.
You had the right. I had the right number. Right,
6 months, guys. Listen, there we go. John the Baptist. Guess what? What day John the Baptist was born on? Now this is where it's very, very, very important to understand the feasts of God. These are not the Jewish feasts. The Jewish people have been the most religious or the most the most dedicated. Let me use that word. Most dedicated to keep those feasts. But here's the plan. John the Baptist was born on Passover. 6 months later, guess what that is? It's the Feast of Trumpets.
Yeah.
Mm.
6 months later, exactly, it's Feast of Trumpets. Now, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, they date, listen closely, they date the year of Exodus chapter 12. It says, this will be the beginning of years for you. What they were doing is God was designating a new set of, or reinstating a new set of biblical years. That's called the religious year that starts at Nisan 1, which is springtime. Mm-hmm. And every time they started one, it was at the most logical time of the year. This is Dead Sea Scroll stuff. They started it on the equinox, the spring equinox. You see that? Now, you go 6 months later, guess what comes up? The civil year. That's when kings were anointed. That's when kings got married. That's how they date. You see in Josiah's 10th year, let's say that.
Yeah.
Well, you can bet his 10th year starts, every one of them, excuse me, starts in the Feast of Trumpets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Take this to the bank and I'll prove it to you. Okay. And you got to understand that. Now, let me tell you a little story along with this, and then I'll get back on the timeline because this is very important to the timeline. Yeshua, when he was nailed to the cross, what did they think he was yelling? He was on the cross. He was nailed on the cross, and guys, he was naked as a jaybird. Yeah. That's why it was so embarrassing and such a humiliation for him. They nailed him up on this cross, and they nailed him to the cross with nails, obviously. You know what the nail represents in the Hebrew language, the alphabet? It represents a specific letter from their alphabet. It's the Vav.
Yes.
They nailed it. Yeah. If they used three nails, one left, one right, one in his feet, that's a Vav. You know the numeric value of a Vav?
It's six. It's 666 is what it is. Yeah. It's the same symbol as what's on the monster can, which is not an accident. Three Vavs. It's 666. And then it says unleash the beast. It's very intentional marketing from there.
Very intentional.
Yeah, for sure.
In my opinion, it's stupid as heck.
Agreed. Agreed.
That's their business. I'd say, hey, whatever. Now let's get back to the timeline. We go 6 months later. We're at the Passover at the crucifixion. He's on the cross, and he cries out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." You know what that means? It's a phrase out of Psalms.
It's my God, why have you forsaken me, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the people thought he was saying what? He's calling out Elijah. To Elijah. Have you ever done a Passover Seder?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh my goodness. You can see Yeshua all through those things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
it's incredible.
It is incredible. But what they thought he was yelling was Eliyahu, Eli, lama sabachthani. Do you see what I'm saying? They thought he was crying out to who?
Elijah, right?
Elijah. You know what you do every year at a Passover Seder? You set a table, at the table, a plate for who? Elijah. Mm-hmm. The kids in my family, they all go to the front door, they look outside, and they call out to Elijah. And the disciples were talking to Yeshua. They said, we thought that Elijah was supposed to come first. And what did Yeshua say? He said, if you will accept it, John the Baptist is Elijah. John the Baptist in the Dead Sea Scrolls, and this is where I'm going to stop and get back to the timeline. Okay. John the Baptist.
This is fascinating. So for real. Yeah, I love this.
John the Baptist, they are named in the Dead Sea Scrolls. They are literally, their roles specifically are named. The roles is, this is what they say. They call, there is the Messiah of Israel, and then there's the priestly Messiah, the Messiah of Aaron. Guess what? We had a priestly Messiah show up. In this case, it means anointed one. Priestly Messiah, which is John the Baptist, because his mother was of the priestly line and his father was of the priestly line. Now, Yeshua, you know what his job was? Elijah's job? To make straight the way of the Lord. What was John doing? He was making straight the way of the Lord. He was hammering those people, saying, get your booties in there and do it right because you're in deep trouble with God. And he was right. Mm-hmm. So now the next thing he does is Yeshua, his job was to straighten out and re-clarify the biblical laws. And you hear Jesus doing that all through the scriptures. He says, you've heard it said, but I tell you this. You've heard it said, but I tell you this. And he brought up, for example, adultery. Mm-hmm. Everybody says, well, Jesus made everything a lot easier. No, he didn't. Because he said, boys, if you look at that young lady and lusting for her, you have just committed adultery.
Yep.
And all the guys said,
yeah.
Oh, crap. I've done this a bunch. Okay. Now, that's what he was doing. And you see it all through there. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it like this with the, you know, with us, not me not being able to control it. But there in the Dead Sea Scrolls, there is, it's called the Melchizedek Scroll. 11Q13, I believe, is the catalog number. Guys, it tells all about Yeshua. And that's one of the things that I was going to cover with you until we had the demon get in our computers here. All right, let's go back to the outline.
All right.
We're going to skip over the Jubilee cycles. We touched on that. Jubilees. Is that the one you typed in a while ago, BG6049?
Yes, it is. Yep.
Okay. Let's go past that. All biblical, you listen to me. All biblical prophecy is related to the biblical sect at Qumran, with Qumran as the central base of all prophetic activity in ancient Israel. If my copper scroll research is correct and Solomon's temple treasures are secured there at Qumran, that they are secured for the millennial kingdom. And I had a rabbi talk to me and said, Jimmy, these things you have found, he said, that's the dowry for the coming bride. And oh my gosh, the lights went on in my brain. I'm thinking, okay, this is more than just a bunch of treasures. This is the dowry for the bride. Mm-hmm. And guess who that might be?
The church.
Okay, now let's go to this one. Here's important numbers, and we're going to go through this. And guys, I apologize. We've started so late, but I will try to give as much as to you as we possibly can. Okay. In A1, you don't have to go there. I think you're already there. Mm-hmm. What you're seeing there is the first Son of God. Back out of that. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what I'd like to do right now, and this goes right along with this. If everybody that's home at home, pull up Luke 3, chapter 3. I'm going to try to do that at the same time you do.
Abby will probably have it pretty quick.
I got it. Let's see.
That's it. Matthew, Mark. Okay, I'm ready. Luke chapter 3. And go down to the, oops, I didn't go far enough. Luke chapter 3, you go down to the genealogy of Yeshua. What you're seeing there, and if you look on your outline, if you scroll down until you see a stop pop up on the left, that's Luke chapter 3, verse 23. Go all the way to the very end of that. What you're seeing there is a list of Melchizedek's. Guys, Melchizedek did not start with some guy out in the wilderness. It didn't start with him. And I'll show you that in just a minute. What I'm going to do is, since we're so late, I'm going to go a little off track on the outline. Forgive me, but I hope I think you'll enjoy it. Look at Luke 3:38. What does it say? It said, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. You want to know who the sons of God are? There you go. That's where you begin to recognize them. And look, the sons of God, let's go backwards. Let's go up to the, if you will go up to the top of your outline where the Melchizedek, you see them, just to the left of what you're looking at there. Adam, the Melchizedek, yep, begins the sons of God. Seth is the second Melchizedek. Enos, and it follows exactly in line, which you see what these people see on Luke 3:38 going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, guys. It's that simple. And the Melchizedek that you see in the story of Abraham, he's feeding them lamb and milk, goat's milk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the guy that they were feeding that to was the Melchizedek, and two messengers were with him. The Melchizedek at that time was Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Okay.
That's who, because it's the firstborns. PJ, are you the firstborn? I think I asked you this.
Yes, question. Yes, I am. Or no, not, well, firstborn male.
Firstborn male. That's it. Who's the firstborn?
Elise, who you met last time.
Is she really? That was your other, how many sisters you got?
I've got three sisters. I've got a few.
Now listen, ladies, I bet if we could see the audience that you've got here tonight, and we ask them, and I do it all the time, I ask the audience, please, everybody that is firstborn, raise your hand, male or female. And the room just fills up with hands in the sky. The firstborn, our job, I'm a firstborn, our job is to carry on the knowledge, scriptural knowledge, and the leading Melchizedek, which was in this case, back to Luke 3:38, was Adam. And then his other two boys were dead. Remember, Adam, and then it was Cain and Abel.
Abel, yep.
Abel was killed, and Cain was kicked out of the garden. So who was left?
Seth. His third one, yeah.
He became the Melchizedek. So it doesn't absolutely have to be the firstborn if the others are dead or kicked out of the kingdom. Yeah, you're going to do it. Then comes Seth's son, Enos. Then after Seth's son was, we'll just go down the list. You'll see it there. Canaan's,
yep.
And then Mahalalel. Those are the same ones you see on the screen there. Same guys. Now, once you get up to, you get past that, you're going to have a lot of other guys. Those in red are very recognizable. And I'm not saying that they weren't but they may have been a different line of Melchizedek's. So all the firstborn sons, that's why in the Bible it talks about you are to dedicate your firstborn son, and if you don't want to dedicate him, what have you got to do? You have to purchase him back. You have to redeem him. You have to redeem him. Otherwise, you're supposed to take him. And guess where they took what they do at Qumran? They take in the sons that have been weaned, meaning they have been separated from their mom and dad, and they go into the Qumran area and they become the son. They all become adopted. Listen, they all become adopted by the leader of Qumran. Okay, they become sons of Zadok. Then that is why whenever you, if you were to go, if you would have been adopted there, all these other men and young boys from 13 and up, 12 and up, they would have been they're adopted. So they become your what?
Adopted brothers.
Brothers. Yeah. Why do you think even to the day everybody goes around and says, hey, brother, how are you doing? That is why. Is because that comes from Qumran. It comes from the Melchizedek order where you become adopted. Now, remember, whenever Yeshua was at in the synagogue, or he was studying with his buddies, and his mom and his family comes up outside, and they said to him, they said, hey, your mom and your brothers or sisters, I don't remember what it was exactly, but he says, who is my mom, my brother, and sisters? He pointed to people. He wasn't being negative toward his mom at all, but that was his responsibility. Even when they went, remember, they lost him, and they go back to look at find him, and what did they do? They asked, where have you been? They got out the belt, and they were going to teach him a lesson. And he said, where have you been?
We've been in my father's house, right?
Yeah. He said, why were you worried? Because he was of age. They were going to take him to, whether it was Qumran or not, I can't tell you for sure, but there were a lot of outposts of Essenes. They call them Essenes. That's not what they really were. They're called the Yachad, the United. So they were going to take him, and that's where he was headed. Where did they take him after that? After he answered the questions and asked questions, they took him, and he grew with stature among the men and God. Guess what he was doing? He moved in with the people of the Qumran community. Let's say Qumran community for now. Qumran community, and he learned the way to go. So when you raise a man up in the way that he go, he shall not depart from it. That's what they were doing. They were keeping him pure. They were keeping him separated so that he would be able to teach correctly.
Right. They're raising him up to be a rabbi.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't like to put it like that. And I've got
Get me wrong,
because rabbis aren't nearly as holy as the men at Qumran were. They are massively holy. So
really quickly, Metalcore Morticia in the chat says, just understand it. She says, so the Melchizedek is always the heir in Jesus's ancestral line. Is that a good way to?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It would be. And that ancestral line goes throughout, but the majority of the ones now, and whenever you get to Joseph was a Melchizedek, but it was a different branch.
Okay. Joseph,
he was a Melchizedek without a doubt. That coat of many colors was a symbol of his father giving him, because who selected him to be the Melchizedek? There's his Abraham, father, Isaac, right? Jacob. But it was Isaac that went over and crossed his hands on the twins, remember? And they were, this sounds ugly, but they were half Egyptian, half what? Jewish. So he crossed his hands, but he gave that most important position to who? Ephraim. Mm-hmm. Ephraim and Manasseh. Mm-hmm. Ephraim got it. That is a whole big teaching that someday we ought to go into that, because it's really important to us here in the United States. It's very, very important. So let's go back up, if you would, please.
Yep.
How long have we been on now?
We've been live. Well, actually, we've been talking for an hour and 15 minutes, but we've been live for 45 minutes.
Okay. How much time have we got? I don't want to go too far.
That's up to Abby, because I know she's pregnant and
I'm here. I'm enjoying this. So,
okay. Well, what I'm going to do, because we've lost a lot of time, what I'd like to do, let's try this, because I'm going to be counting on you, PJ.
All right. All right. I'll try not to let you down too much.
Okay. If you will look on the outline, mm-hmm. There are, let's go down to, because we've lost a lot of time, let's go down to nearer to the bottom. I'm sorry. Oh, goodness. Where's it at? Oh, there it is. I'm sorry. It says end time prophecies, all in grain, easy to find.
Yep. Gotcha.
If you go the right direction. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to save the Dead Sea Scroll prophecies for last. But what I want you to do is I want you to go to Daniel's. We're going to get into prophecies that pertain to today. Okay. Daniel's 2300 years.
Yep. I got that pulled up.
Okay. BA 36:31.
Yep.
Okay. And let me see. Where is it at? Point at it on there.
Three.
Here, let me just make it big real quick.
There okay. You go. There you go. 36:31. Go down to your.
Okay. Yeah. It's at the bottom here.
Okay. Pull it up. Yep. There you go. Stop.
Okay.
Now, I want you to click on that 36:31. Just click on it. See that line form? Mm-hmm. Okay. Follow that line across there and slide it over. Oops. Whoop. We passed it. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Stop right there. Okay. You see that 50? It's in line BB.
B. Yes. Right okay. Here. The black 50. There we go.
Click on it. Okay. Now, what we're going to do is that is a very, very important year. And see that all those numbers down below that 50, that's a 50th benchmark of this whole outline I've got here. Let's go 2300 years. So is anybody, if they will type in, because the actual number for it is 3634, anybody got a computer or a admin machine? You add it up and check me. That's all. I just want you to check me on this. 36:36 and add 2300 years to that. It equals the year 5936. So now I would like for you to go up to the box and type in BB 5936. And let's see where Daniel's 3600 years ends at.
All right. 5936 ends when Israel's born again in 1948.
Coincidence? I don't think so, guys. Now let's go. Let's try this. Let's go to
A 1948.
Let's slide over to the left so we can see that, or slide right so we can see what's on the left. Look at in 1941, there was a Holocaust. What mm-hmm. Holocaust are we talking about? Because let me just say this. Remember, we were looking at the jubilees. Mm-hmm. The jubilee that Isaac was born in at the end of that cycle was whenever he was offered as a sacrifice. So if you go exactly from 1941 Holocaust of the 1941, that was the year the Holocaust really kicked into high gear. That's when they started murdering like 35,000 people. And I've got it on that outline, but that's when it began. And if you go back exactly 240 year sequences, you come right back to Isaac, who on the same day that Yeshua was crucified, he was offered as a what?
Offered as a sacrifice.
Offered as a sacrifice. What does Holocaust mean?
A burnt sacrifice.
Burnt offering.
Oh, burnt offering, yeah.
Oh, burnt offering. Now you come to the year 1941, and in our current history, you come to the year 1941. What started happening in 1941?
Whole mustache man
offering. That's why they call it a Holocaust. That's what a Holocaust means. It's a Greek word, but that's it. But what's really interesting to me, if you go, let's see, put your cursor over the green line over there. Just there you go. What does that say?
Ezekiel and the exile of Israel, 7 times 390 years. So it's biblical year 3206 to 5935. You want me to read the whole thing?
Nope, that's good. That's all we need to know. So if what does the number 390 represent? And I'll give you the other one that goes with it, 40. Where do you see that? Ezekiel proclaimed that the northern kingdom would be punished for 390 years. Had they, now listen, had they been repented for their sins, of they had two golden calves. They didn't have just one. They were really out there in la-la land. So they were really sinning, and if they had repented before Jeroboam died, it would only been 390 years punishment for them. But if you go back, now what I want you to do is look at the, let me see if I can find it up here, Ezekiel's 390, yep. If you will type in, well, you don't need, you've already got it there, 5940. Type in BA3631. Now we're going to go back 7 times 390.
Right, so here's 3631 right here. When Cyrus becomes king?
No, that's not it. I'm sorry. I keep trying to slide it down, and I can't do it. That's why it's making this so difficult.
Yeah. I know. I'm sorry.
But that's, which way? No, that's all right. That's okay. Keep going. Pull the screen down. Well, you're going pulling it up, but.
Oh, sorry. So this way. Down. Other down.
Yeah, the other down.
So he's talking about here with Jeremiah and the exile.
No,
okay.
No. Keep going. I'll show you because it didn't come out right on here.
Okay.
Keep going. That's okay. We're gonna be really good team here before the end of the night.
We're here with Ezekiel?
Yep, there it is.
Okay.
See this where it says that gray line right there? Keep going, pull it down until you can see all of that.
Okay.
Jeroboam's reign.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now click on the green down there. That was his entire reign. Had he repented before the end of that gray line, there you go, right there. If he had repented before that, then it would have only been 390 years. But since he didn't, you multiply 390 years times 7, it will take you all the way down to 1948.
Wow.
So how does that happen? Guys, I'm telling you, if you put the timeline on a biblical scale instead of a college or Babylonian or whatever they use, keep it. You don't go to a Ford manual to learn how to work on Chevys.
Right.
You got to go to the Bible where it came from and look at it. Because let me show you another one now. Let's see. Daniel's 2300 years. Let's go to 19. Let's go from the birth of Yeshua. Go to, I think it's A4019. Okay, go down to the crucifixion. Pull it up. There you go. See there, Yeshua. Oh, you passed it.
Oh, down. Yep.
Yeshua's right crucified. Look at that. You did. I gave you the wrong timeline, I think, because I had all this laid out a little better.
I might have pulled open the wrong one. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that's the one that I just sent you. I think that's the other one I sent you from the other day.
Okay.
But if you go from Yeshua, and this is pretty easy, go over to the left-hand column. What year is that? That gray column. Remember, we got to look at that.
This one right here.
4019. 4019. That's the important side left, that gray column.
Okay.
4019 and add 1948 to that. Have you got a calculator?
4019 plus 1948?
Yep.
One second. I have a calculator on here somewhere. 4019 minus 194 or add?
Add.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 1948 is 5967.
59, type in A, 5967. Guess what?
967 is this line right here.
Oh, you did some. You did your math wrong. Go back
up. Okay.
Go back up. Right there. Israel is born again.
Okay.
See that green line? Put your cursor over the green. There you go, right there.
Yeah.
That is whenever Israel was born again. So Israel's punishment was multiplied by 7. According to Leviticus, that's what you do. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Because this, without you having the right calendar on there, or whoever made the mistake, it may have very well been my mistake. You'll be able to see all this much easier. So I'm going to let people ask me some questions, and I will do my best to answer their questions. But before we do, let's go down. Go, pull it back up, please.
Oh, yep.
Okay, now go down to today's, the Jubilee that we're in right now. Go down to the year 1991. Slide down on the green scale, C column. 1991.
Oh, yeah, sorry, 1991 right here.
Yep, that's when the last Jubilee period started. However, remember I told you that there is civil and religious. The mm-hmm. civil new year starts at Rosh Hashanah, which is Feast of Trumpets. And you go to this, you will see that the Jewish people selected a new Jubilee cycle. And it's right in the center of the Jubilee cycle, the civil Jubilee cycle. Look, see the pink and the blue mm-hmm. column? No. It's an E. That is the year, see that J?
Sorry.
Go down.
Yes, right here.
Right in the center, which is the exact center of the 857th sabbatical year, 2016. That mm-hmm. was the year that a Jewish proclamation was made that they were starting a new Jubilee cycle. It was amazing. Now, go pull it downward till you come to that next yellow line, downward. Oh. The other down, that's it. 1991 of Jubilee. Look in the column IHIJI. It's a yellow with a red. There you go. How many years is that? 10 years. From the Jubilee countdown, 10 years, a guy named Gershon Solomon came to Oklahoma, and I went to see him, and I said, Gershon, he's an incredible guy. I went to see him. He was at a prophecy conference. I went up to his room on a Shabbat, and I sat with him, and I showed him this research, and he loved it. I said, well, here's what I wanted to show you. I said, you're going to lay a cornerstone this year. And I said, he said, are you sure? And I said, I'm absolutely positive of it. He said, well, guess what? I said, what? He said, we just laid it at the Hulda Gate. And I said, are you serious? I thought he was kidding me. He said, no, I'm very serious. We just laid it there. Now, put your cursor over the Gershon Solomon cornerstone. Oh, put it over the Isaac yellow lines.
Oh, yep. Gotcha.
What does it say?
Important cornerstones and times are separated by exactly 1970 years. From the year of the birth of Isaac to the cornerstone of our faith, the year of the crucifixion was exactly 1,970 years. From the year of the crucifixion to the laying of Gershon Solomon's cornerstone, was exactly 1,970 years.
Wow. And what is Yeshua called?
The cornerstone. Oh, yeah, the cornerstone that the builders rejected. Yeah.
Exactly. You know what the builders mean? that name, people think Jesus was a carpenter. No, no, they didn't have wood in ancient Israel. They had some, but it wasn't, they weren't going to build tables out of it.
Well, a mason, right?
He was a stone. Well, yeah, he was a stonemason. That is where that comes from. And listen to me. I'm not saying the Masons of today are affiliated with it. I'm not saying that. And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings if their grandpas or their dads were Masons, but it's not the same thing. Not even remotely.
Right.
But every 10 years after, every time they laid a cornerstone, they laid it 10 years after a jubilee cycle, after a jubilee. So go back down to the pink. Go back down to the middle.
With this J?
Yep, the J. That that was when the Jubilee was proclaimed. And if you look at the blue line, and we're going to end here in just a second. You look at the blue line. That is the new Jubilee cycle, which started right in the center of a religious Jubilee, or a civil Jubilee. And then, just like the civil jubilees or civil years and the religious year, they start right in the middle of each other. Incredible. Now, go over to stay where you're at and just look at the number of years from the rebuilding of, or the, it was 70 years after Israel became a nation again. And look, what else happened during that time?
That's when Trump announced the Jerusalem capital.
The Jubilee's capital. This is incredible. If it's a coincidence, I've got a dozen more of them for you.
It's a pretty big coincidence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is pretty big.
Then look at the sabbaticals from the Jubilee, that line you've got there already. You count down 7 years. You come to it. There's an S on there that stands for sabbatical.
Yep, right here.
Yep. And go to the right. It was in the year 2023. That's the middle of the old cycle, the sabbaticals. Then you go down. This is an interesting thing. We are, click on the year 2024 all the way to the left, all the way to the left. Click on that so people can see it easy.
Mm-hmm.
2020, that's the year we're in. Guys, listen. I'm going to be careful about what I say. But it's my opinion that sometime in this year, we're going to find some very, very important things at Qumran. That's my opinion, and I can't tell you all the details on that in 2024. But from Noah, and I'm just going to tell everybody this, and I will have these other timelines ready. And for the people, can you take a list of email addresses, or they can send them to me, a request?
Sure.
Timeline request to cspebook@gmail.com. Just send them straight to me.
Right. Well, I was going to ask you this, Jim. Would it be all right if I distributed it to the people in our Discord in a simple way like that, just uploaded it that way? Or do you want me to have them email you or gather a list? Or?
Yeah, that would be fine. If you want to do it that way, let me get you a new one and a new, because I wouldn't actually.
I think I did download the new one, but I must have clicked on the wrong thing. I'll double check, but yeah, that'd be great.
That's okay. No problem. It still worked out. But it's listen, still working. And I'm going to just tell you this rather than go there, and then you'll be able to check it out on your own whenever you get time to look at it. From Noah. Moses, not Noah. From Moses to the year, to the year 2030. How long is it to 2030?
From now or yep. from, okay, now. For 6 years.
6 years. The reason I say that is it sounds like it's way in the future.
Right.
But it's not. It's only 6 years from now. Let's say that I do find some really important stuff, and we start rebuilding the new temple. What else are we going to need to be able to get that is to start building a new temple. We need what? Red heifers. Mm-hmm. We need those to be able to cleanse the items and make sure they're clean. And if, in fact, I'm correct, and we find all the things that we need to set the tabernacle back up again, listen, there's a very good possibility that everything that we need is inside of a particular spot that I've identified at Qumran. And if all those things in there, the tabernacle, the ashes of the old red heifers, because normally what they do is they take the old ashes of the red heifer, they put the new ashes in the same jar, and they mix them up. They stir them up. Mm-hmm. Why would they do that? Because there's always ashes from all the red heifers, all the way back to Moses. So mm-hmm. back to Moses is where this all started. What is the number for complete redemption or salvation? They asked Jesus, how many times should we forgive? What was his answer?
7 times 70.
Which is?
490.
490.
Okay.
And 7 is the number of completion. There are 7 mm-hmm. days in a year, 7 years in a sabbatical, 7 sabbaticals in a jubilee. So you multiply 70, 70 times 490 from the year that where it says temple complete, temple building is complete, and you subtract that from whatever that far left-hand number is.
I'm sorry, I was distracted by chat. Can you tell me what numbers to subtract again?
Okay, I need
they're
to
ask, they're asking me questions.
No, sorry. That's okay. Multiply 70 times 7 is 490. Then you subtract 490 from 6014.
It is 5524?
Can't be.
Wait, subtract 60...
6014 minus... whatever the answer is for, it should be
5524?
No. 7 times 490 should be 3430, I think.
7 times
490. Oh, 7 times 4. I was just subtracting 490. Gotcha.
Oh, okay.
I'm retarded. All right, 3430. Okay. What was the first number again?
Okay, subtract. Let me
6014.
6014 minus 3430. And then add it, put it in the box.
2584.
Mm-hmm. Put A, 2584.
Oops. I messed up. 1 second. There we go.
Okay. What do you see there?
2584.
Yeah, it's
the light of Aaron.
You got close. Right here.
Oh, shoot. I clicked on the...
That's all right. Just go down and click on it, and when I'll straighten that out whenever we send out the new ones. But as you see, from the life of Moses to that year is exactly 7 times 490.
Wow.
Is that a coincidence, or is that God saying, guys, it's not long? So go back down to the year... A6014. Let's start there.
Okay.
If you'll notice, there's some really interesting stuff up here, and then I'm going to stop after this. See the year 2009? That's when we actually did a excavation at Qumran based on my research. Didn't cost me a thing, and the archaeological world exploded. Because they were mad that they were digging, excavating based on my research. They were furious. So put your cursor over that where it says 2009 Feast of the Beast. There you go. Mm-hmm. Put it over the yellow beast. What does that say?
Which part do you want me to read?
Go down to the bold black part.
by Fritz Springmeier. At the Feast of the Beast, a beautiful bride is trained and presented to Satan, and she may well be a virgin. The ceremony is most likely held at a castle or a palace. It's also likely to be held in Europe for the principal ceremony. Mm-hmm. The Feast of the Beast is associated with the number 28. One of the best books on providing occult words meaning is the number of Aleister Crowley's books, Gematria and the Tables of Correspondence.
So what I'm saying is that cycle of 28 years landed on 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who was president in 2009?
Obama.
Obama. Yep. I'm not saying anything bad about Obama, so don't think that. But I'm telling you, there's some wicked stuff going on behind the scenes. And I'm sure
I agree.
Well aware of that. Some really wicked stuff going on. But that was the same year that we did the excavation. It got stopped by a very powerful archaeological group. So with that in mind, guys, I apologize. I don't know what happened to that we couldn't do this.
Jim, you shouldn't apologize. I have been, and I can tell the chat is too, we're all like enthralled by the stuff you're saying.
Very,
and we're learning a lot. We're taking in a lot. So I can't thank you enough for coming here and sharing your knowledge with us.
Oh, I love doing this. I the only thing I like to talk about more is the Copper Scroll stuff. But some other things that you guys need to be aware of, and I'm just going to tell you, can you go, I'll do it. I can do it over here. Whenever we talk about Qumran, guys, I want you to understand this. It is really, really important. It's only going to be number two to the Temple Mount. One day, if I'm right, I promise you that, well, I don't promise, but I would bet $1,000 bill right now, and I don't bet, that they will build a dome over Qumran to protect it. And let's say that place that I've identified that has the 900 talents of gold, they will have a hole dug there, and they will have exactly the way those ingots of gold, 75 pound ingots of gold, were stacked in that hole. And for all of the locations, and there's a bunch of them at Qumran, they will have that all just like it was the day it was found.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be a lot of praying that needs to be done. And guys, for the safety of everyone on the team, for my family, I really want people. I don't want your money. I want your prayers. I want your prayers. And you ask God to keep me, first of all, keep me in his will, keep me in line, because I'm just a guy from Oklahoma and I'm a guy. So he has a tough time keeping me in line. But there's three branches of government, and this is what I wanted to tell you. There's an executive branch, which were the kings, the legislative branch, which were the Levitical priests, and then the judicial branch, which was who?
Well, I was thinking of the judges right off the top of my head, but probably not.
Who the judges were is the guys at Qumran. They were the prophets of Israel. Mm. And one of the worst judges that there ever were, he was a Nazarite, remember? His name was Samson.
Yep.
Samson liked the babes. And he found him one, and she cut his hair off, and here we go. So my point is this. There's another Melchizedek order that was established. And you want to read a little more about it, excuse me, read up on in Hebrews. Hebrews is just an amazing book. I just love Hebrews. But it tells you about the Melchizedek order. It talks about it. And it says Yeshua is part of that Melchizedek order. How is he a priest of the Melchizedek order when he's not even a Levite? How does that happen? It's because the Melchizedek order, the way you become part of the Melchizedek order is you're firstborn, you are Nazir, you're a Nazirite, you abide by the commandments, and you separate yourself from the world and come out from among them. And what do? You study Torah, you study scripture, and you learn it so that you, as a firstborn son, can teach your family and teach all those below you, or not below you, because a Nazirite is below everyone. they think they shouldn't think anything more of themselves than they're doing God's will. That is their role in life, and that's what you're supposed to be doing, PJ. Are you doing a good job of it?
I appreciate it, Jim. We have a chat over here from Answered Sato that says Jim equals top guest and best sweater of all, 10 out of 10. So I don't know what they like more. I don't know if they like learning about the biblical timelines or just enjoying your sweater, but they like all of it.
This sweater is probably 15 years old, and I love it. I had another one that was like 35 years old, but my daughter hated it. But it was a beautiful sweater. I gave it to my grandson about 4 months ago, and she wanted to choke me because he loved it. So anyway, there's my story on sweaters. But guys, I love doing this. I love talking to you guys. And you guys ever want me to come back, I will come back, and maybe we can do it right next time.
Our chat will be mad if we don't have you back. And we both love you, Jim. Like, this has been great. So yeah, we'd love to have you back at some point.
It's absolutely my pleasure, and say a prayer for me because I've got two interviews in the next couple of days, and then I get called from California. I get a call coming in. They're going to want me to do I can't say the name of the series right now, but you'll see it on TV.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, do you mind if I pray for you then before we take off? Because I know you got all that stuff coming up, and we just appreciate having you here.
It'd be my pleasure, bud. Thank you.
All right. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for helping us get through all of the tech issues and just the opportunity to sit down and gather people together to just listen and learn about the Bible and about timelines, about history and prophecy and everything that you've got going on, Lord. I just feel like it's been such a blessing to the Conspiracy Pilled community to have Jim be a part of it, to be here to teach us about the Copper Scrolls, to teach us about biblical timelines. And we just thank you so much for him. I just pray that you strengthen him, that you guide and direct him, help him through his interviews, give him the words to say, Lord. And again, as we all do our best to follow you and to do your work and to live out whatever calling you have for us in this life, Lord, that we just keep our eyes on you, that we strengthen and support one another and lift each other up. We just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Jim.
I have never had, I've had some really good interviews, but I've never had any better than with you guys. I just feel comfortable with you. I just feel at home with you, even all your listeners. I just feel it's like a biblical energy, a heavenly energy is coming from you guys. So thank you for allowing me to come on and visit with you.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. We'll stay in touch, man.
All right.
All right. You have a great night. Everybody else have a great night. I have to get some sleep before I go back to work. It's been a long day. God bless everyone. We will see you Wednesday for the Philadelphia Project or Philadelphia Experiment. All right. God bless everyone. Have a great night.
Good night.
Good night.